This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
DCR.
The number one pick and a Super Bowl champ with the man that can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's
I'm every trash, CMT for short. Wonder if we best, want you peep the score. Sports Center E, gonna be top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise and shine with 98.7. This is Drive Time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Dave, Chris, and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
And a good Friday morning to you. Wakey, wakey, eggs and bakey. It is DCR with you right here on 98.7 ESPN. I mean, we are almost to the weekend. We are in spring. The Mets are winning. The Yankees aren't playing. The Knicks are back in action tonight. Life is pretty, pretty good. Good morning, Chris Canty. How are you?
I'm doing great, Dave. I got to imagine that you're in a good mood after your boys pulled off the Citi Field opening day win, huh?
The opening day miracle at Citi Field. The elbow heard round
the world.
Is it
a miracle? Yes. Is it a miracle?
No, I don't know. I'm just kidding. Good morning, Rick. How are you?
I'm doing great, Dave. It's Friday.
Yep.
I think we all can agree. I mean, this is unanimous that we all love the Friday.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Who doesn't love the Friday? Absolutely.
Serial killers. the only people that don't like Friday.
Like Ted Bundy never appreciated Friday. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, yeah. David Berkowitz. Yeah, those kind of people. Yeah.
Richard Ramirez always looked down on the Friday.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I think that's probably very accurate.
Seriously, though, nobody else, right? How could you not like Friday?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think you wake up on Friday, you have a little bigger pep to your step, right?
Oh, of course you do. You got the Masters on, Dave, baseball. Baseball season is upon us. I mean, so many great things.
How much Masters did you watch yesterday?
I watched quite a bit, to be honest, because the kids were in school yesterday. So I had Cass put the ESPN Plus on the TV, which is phenomenal, by the way.
It's great, isn't it? It's great. No, firing up the Fire Stick and watching
Chris,
it. Oh, it's awesome.
Chris, don't lose sight of the fact. Do you see what he just said? I had Cass put the ESPN Plus on the TV. He can't do it.
Dave, why? Dave, why are you surprised by this?
I'm not surprised.
He doesn't have a Venmo or a PayPal. He has nothing.
There.
He can't do anything by himself.
What happens if Cass, like, what happens if you guys divorced? I hate to be morbid, but, like, what happens if Cass said, I'm going to visit a friend for a weekend? Like, what happens to you?
I'd have to move in with you, I think.
You'd be welcome to spend time here.
Oh, I appreciate that. Then sure, he could take care of both of us. I would have to go somewhere. I would have no idea what to do.
Well, at least you have some company in the basement, Rico. You know Andy's down there.
That's a good point. I'll take Lonnie with me.
I'd Cass put ESPN Plus. So if she was not home, what would you have not been able to put ESPN Plus on the big TV?
Yeah, I would have watched whatever else. I wouldn't have watched it. I didn't know how to set it up. I don't know what the password. She has the password and then the sign in and everything else. But I had the picture in picture going. I had the featured group. It was awesome.
Nice. Nicely done.
And you know what I did yesterday, too, because I had some leftover stuffing from Easter, is I made a stuffing waffle with some poached eggs to get me geared up for the Mets game yesterday.
Really? You're probably the only person gearing up for the Mets game with poached eggs.
What else are you going to put on? I mean, that's the kind of runniness you
Listen,
need.
Listen, I love the way you eat.
On my stuffing waffle.
I think it's beautiful, but I think that you're kind of upper crust when it comes to the menu that you provide at your home.
Mm. No, I wouldn't say that. I would just say that one of my hidden talents, I probably should have used this for Get to Know Your Co-host today, is I make a terrific poached egg.
Really?
Which is not easy to do, but for some reason, I've mastered the poached egg.
I don't even think I would know how to poach an egg.
Well, how do you think you would cook a poached egg?
I always remember poached eggs being cooked in my home, and they were like above the water. Is that accurate, or is that something that I'm...
That is not accurate, no.
I was about to, Dave, I'm right there with you. I don't know how to poach an egg either,
like they weren't,
so don't
they weren't
feel
like
bad.
They weren't like in a dangling thing over the boiling water? No, there was nothing about that?
Maybe your parents did it that way, but to poach an egg, you get the water to a nice... You don't want a crazy boil, because then the egg starts going all over the place. You get it to a nice boil. You add some vinegar to the water, which helps the egg white to coagulate. And then you break the... I put the egg in a little bowl, and then I gently place it in the water. And then you put it in for... If you want a perfect egg,
yeah,
anywhere between 4 to 4.5 minutes,
wow,
and you're done.
Wow, look at you. Look at you.
Yeah, no, I couldn't do that. I mean, maybe I could follow instruction and do it, but I would have had no idea prior to this conversation. It's amazing to me, Chris, that he can't put ESPN Plus on the television, doesn't know the password, would have absolutely no idea how to do that. But poaching an egg is something that is well within his purview.
Yeah, I'm not surprised, though, Dave. I told you, I've been over there for Thanksgiving on multiple occasions, and seeing that dude work in the kitchen, he's unbelievable.
Magic.
I mean, he might as well be Guy Fieri. Isn't that what the guy's name is? I mean, he's like top chef. Like, that's how Rick DiPietro gets down in the kitchen. And then he's got Milo right there as his little sous chef.
Really? Is he good?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Milo goes to be, gets busy in the kitchen. Yeah,
100%.
Really? Yeah, the kids like to cook. I know my role. That's what that thing is, Dave. I know my role. Like, I have a role in my house. In that, I mean, there are certain things that I do, and cooking is one of them.
Nice. I love
it. And then Cassie sticks to the electronic stuff.
And all the other stuff. Who pays the bills, by the way?
Who does what?
Who pays the bills?
Who do you think?
Cassie.
Yes.
Yeah. So she handles pretty much everything. And that's about it.
Yeah, I go grocery shopping.
Right, that's kitchen stuff, right? Kitchen of Genesis,
yeah,
Rosenberg would say.
Yeah, I fix stuff.
Well, that's good. That's more than I can do. You're probably more capable than I am. I don't know why I'm making fun of you.
Well, yeah, but I mean, this is what you do. Like, I mean, Sherry has, you know, certain things, well, most things that she does, and then there are things that she has you do.
You know what a weird thing that she will not do? She's for some reason terrified of. She will not place an order from a restaurant, like a to go order. She will not do it.
What is she afraid she's going to screw it up or something?
She's just like, I don't want to do it, and the order's going to get screwed up, and you're going to get angry at me, and you just place the order.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Well, that seems like more of a you thing than a Sherry thing. Like, you must have yelled at her so many times that she just doesn't want to do it anymore.
Maybe.
Like, why risk it?
I don't know. Maybe so. So, Justin Rose, good day yesterday, huh? 7-under, four-shot lead at the Masters.
Compared to what everyone else did?
Oh,
yeah. I mean, I told you yesterday. I mean, it was going to be, it's a completely different course than you saw in the fall. When that course gets dried out and it's hard and the greens are fast, forget it. And you saw that. I think I saw some crazy number. I think last year after the first round, so last fall after the first round, I think total scoring, I think, was like -54. Yeah, -54.
Mm-hmm.
And then yesterday was +220.
Wow.
222.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's how much different the course is playing.
Wow.
Did you hear the funny story that that Michael Collins told yesterday too, on with Alan and Bart?
No, I didn't catch it.
One of the secrets of Augusta, and he's been there like 8 or 9 years, is he's never seen one squirrel on the golf course, not one single squirrel. He said once you leave the property, like where he stays and everything else, the squirrel's all over the place. But mm-hmm. you step foot of the property, not one squirrel.
How is that possible though?
The explanation he got was, well, we have our trees are softwood and the squirrels prefer hardwood. He's like, when I leave the place, it looks like a lot of softwood trees, and I see squirrels all over those trees.
Yeah, I don't know. I had a buddy of mine tell me that he went to the Masters. He said, you can't find a weed. He said he looked for a weed, like a piece of grass out of place, anything. He said he has never seen anything like the way they keep up Augusta.
No, it's gorgeous. Like, once you step on the property.
Have you been?
I have never been, but everyone I've talked to, I've had buddies that have played it, and I've had my father-in-law's gone a couple times. And what's amazing about what I've been told, too, is like when you leave Augusta, then like you're driving around, it's like, this can't be where the golf course is at.
Oh, yeah. It's in the hood. Yeah.
Yeah. There's like, there's no way this golf course is in this area. And then all of a sudden you turn up the drive and it's like the most gorgeous. Every tree is perfectly manicured. The flowers are beautiful. Like everything is just, that's what makes it special.
Yeah.
Like I had a buddy call me.
Go ahead.
No. So I had my buddy Blake call me one time. And he's like, guess where I'm going? I said, I don't know. Where are you going? He goes, I'm going to heaven. And I'm like, heaven? What is he talking about? I'm like, does this have to do with sports? What does this have to do with? He goes, it has to do with golf. I said, you son of a, you're going to Augusta, aren't you? He got to play Augusta. And I guess one of the rules at Augusta is as long as you're on the premises with a member, you're allowed to kind of just free range around. So he played with the member. He brought his dad with him. And then the member's like, you know what? I'm good. I don't want to play anymore. So the member went in to have a drink or whatever. So he got to play like 27 holes with just his dad.
Wow.
On Augusta.
That is pretty cool.
That'd be amazing.
Really is pretty cool. Yep. So, all right, that continues along today. We'll get into a little golf later, a little golf there. I mean, we are a golf show now. 800-919-3776. Firstly, I'm surprised at the vitriol around New York, around Twitter. I heard on the K Show yesterday, people are so angry that the Mets won like that. And ideally, I would prefer not to win like that, but I wasn't really all that bothered that they won like that.
What do you mean you prefer not to win like that?
I prefer not to win like that.
That's a ridiculous statement. Or like Rosenberg, too, was like, that's not how you want to win. No, no, that's not how you want to lose. You don't want to lose like that.
Now, yeah. If you said to me he can drive a ball into the gap and the Mets win on a walk-off, you know, base hit, I'd prefer that. But I don't care that they won the game like that.
Have you seen Michael Conforto at the plate lately?
Yeah, he looks lost right now. Listen, I'm taking the same side as you.
No, I know, but you said it. I'd prefer not to win that way. Did you see how the Mets celebrated?
Yeah, they
care less how they win.
But did you see the anger and the vitriol at how dare you take enjoyment and win a game like that? And what a disgrace, and they're going to throw Conforto's head on Saturday? I mean, people were furious about that yesterday.
Go ahead.
If anyone's going to get thrown at, it's going to be Jeff McNeil. For the bat toss.
Oh, that was an epic bat flip. But I mean, for that kind of home run, Rico, plus he's been in one to start the season, like I can't even be mad at him for that, but like he's the guy that gotta be on the lookout.
He crushed that.
Yeah, baseball.
Word of advice to the Marlins. That guy that came in the eighth inning, make
Garcia?
Him your closer and move Bass out of that role.
Do you know who Bass is, by the way? Little fact about Bass. That is Eric Decker's brother in law.
Really?
Yeah, he's married to Jesse James Decker's sister.
Oh, interesting.
Oh, yeah.
I found out a piece of mind-blowing news yesterday. I had no idea. No idea talking
what?
About relation. Talia Shire, right?
Okay.
You know who she is?
Yeah. Adrian.
Adrian, right. You know who her son is?
No.
Jason Schwartzman.
Really?
I had zero idea that existed.
No clue.
Zero idea. Why are you laughing?
How did you find that out?
I was doing Googling research for Stump Rothenberg. And I'll tell you how. I'll tell you how. So Francis Ford Coppola, I'm gonna tell you how. Francis Ford Coppola, I don't know, something. He had won an award or something. And I remember hearing that he was from Long Island. He actually graduated from Great Neck North High School. So I didn't realize that. So then I was like, oh, wow. And then I know that here's another one. You might not know this. You might. His sister is Talia Shire. That's why he cast her in The Godfather, right? So his sister is Talia Shire, which I knew. And then I was looking and it said, you know, Talia Shire's children. And it said Jason Schwartzman. I was like, wait a minute. It can't be that Jason Schwartzman. But it is. And it was. So there you have it. That's a piece of information that will never go away. And that's why Sump Rothenberg is the segment that it is.
I didn't even realize that. Chris, did you know that he does, like on off days, he does research for Stump Rothenberg?
Yeah.
I did not do that. I did not know that at all. I just thought he Googled everything once he got the questions asked to him.
No, pre-show Googling.
See, I didn't even know that. I give you credit now. Now I actually have more respect for Stump Rothenberg than you actually study.
Oh, absolutely.
No, but he still got the Google gimp, though, Rico. Don't let him fool you. Come on, man.
Don't take shots at me. I'm providing knowledge here. What happens if you're in a situation when someone like you know, desperately screaming out, they're in massive trouble, and the only way they can get out of it is, who is Talia Shire's son? And you run up, save them. Jason Schwartzman. There you go, man. Jason Schwartzman.
See, this is what makes you great at Jeopardy, though.
Oh, my gosh.
Is that you run into, like, while you're studying for Stump Rothenberg, you run into facts like this.
Yes.
My buddy Pete's the exact same way.
I love it.
Like, that's how his mind works, too. Like, he just knows like some of the most random, because he reads a lot. And he'll just, like, out of nowhere. Like, we were in a cab one time, and for some reason, the cab driver was like, well, no, I'm not, he was just real, real talkative. And Pete's like, hey, what's your name? And he's like, Grange. And Pete's like, oh, like the farm equipment. And he's like, oh, how did you know that? And we're like, what the hell is he talking about? But Pete knew it immediately, just came like right top of his head. The guy was pumped.
Love knowledge. Knowledge is power. All right, so... You have no issue at all, it sounds like, because you got angry at me that I would prefer to win a different way. You have no issue at all with the Mets winning that way yesterday.
No, why would I? That's not on the Mets. That's on the ump.
What a horrendous call, by the way.
What's amazing about that call is he's ringing him up. Like, he's into his Enrico Palazzo.
Strike three?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Yeah, he called strike three.
But he didn't even realize in the moment, he didn't even realize that Conforto got hit until Conforto pointed out that he got hit. And he's like, oh, yeah, yeah, you got hit on the elbow. And the only thing I could think of is that in that moment, he thought that the reason it was a strike was because it glanced off his elbow pad, which is what made it a strike.
He thought it glanced off the pad into the strike zone.
But that's the only thing that would explain why all of a sudden he decides it's not a strike anymore.
You know what bothers me, Chris? The fact, and how can you not go to replay on this?
That's not allowed to
go to replay on it.
That's my biggest issue with the whole thing, Dave. I mean, you can review whether or not the batter got hit by a pitch, but you can't review whether or not the pitch was a strike or the batter was in the strike zone. Like, that's the part of it that doesn't make any sense. And I know there's a lot of outrage behind this ending, but I feel like that's the genesis of it, or it should be the genesis of the frustration from baseball fans, because you got a game that takes 4 hours to play, and you got all these different things that are reviewable. But a situation like this, where the batter clearly has his elbow in the strike zone when that ball is traveling to the catcher's mitt, and it gets hit. And not only do you give him first base, but you give him the game. Like, that's the part that doesn't make any sense to me for such a pivotal moment. Like, you can't use replay to get the call right? That makes no sense. Like, Don Mattingly and the Marlins players were well within their rights to be outraged, because that was an absolutely ridiculous call. And the fact that you can't review that's ugly for Major League Baseball. I don't get it.
But why else have instant replay then?
You're right.
You know what I mean? Like, why else have it? Like, that's why you would have instant replay. So it doesn't cost the team a game. That cost the Marlins a game.
That cost the Marlins the game.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
I mean, people are horrified. How dare he do something like that yesterday? Stick his elbow into the play, get hit by the pitch, cheating the game, no respect for the game. I heard people running the gamut. I was an embarrassing take from all these people yesterday.
The Houston Astros cheated the game. What Michael Conforto did was, in a moment, he was fooled by the pitch. It was going to be, okay, either strike three, I'm out, or I'm going to push my elbow out, get hit by the pitch, and make the umpire make a decision. That's what he did.
Yeah, you're right.
Now, does it help because he has, a giant elbow pad on? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You wouldn't feel that?
But no, seriously, if he didn't have the elbow pad on, I would be surprised if he did something like that. If he did, I'd have even more respect for him, because I would actually call him and say, hey, when you're done, the Moose Knuckles need you. Because you eat a pitch like that for the Knuckles, that's lifetime. It's how we win championships, whatever
it
takes.
That's how you guys, win the whole thing, all the time. Many championships. 800-919-3776. Let's hear from Conforto discussing getting hit by the pitch and the walk-off win for the Mets.
Obviously not the way that I wanted to win the ball game. You know, I wanted to go up there and put the ball in play and, you know, drive a ball somewhere. From my point of view, you know, it was a slider, felt like it was coming back to me. And I just, you know, I turned, there may have been a little lift to my elbow just out of habit, out of reaction. And it barely skimmed the edge of my elbow guard. So, and I did see that he rung me up. I think that's why he didn't see a reaction from me. You know, I knew there was going to be some controversy. Our first base coach was yelling at me to get down there, touch the base and let's get out of here. A win's a win. It's over. But obviously I'd like to use the bat next time, for sure.
Well, I'm sure he would, but he's not hitting very well right now. And the Mets, with runners in scoring position, can't get a hit to save their life. I mean, so if you can't get a hit, why not get hit by a pitch and try to win the game for your team?
That would have been a real frustrating loss yesterday.
Oh, my God.
Real frustrating loss.
I mean, the Marlins are not good. You blew so many golden opportunities. Walker was exceptional. That would have been a terrible loss. On opening day, after he had blown game one and got hammered the day before, terrible loss.
Yeah, I mean, he's got a no-hitter going into the fifth. I mean, they make it 1-1, and then he's got Aguilar down 0-2, comes all the way back in the count, hits a single, makes it 2-1. And then it's like, it didn't matter who the reliever they brought in, the Mets couldn't do anything. And then thank God for Jeff McNeil, first hit of the season is a bomb.
Oh my God, did he crush that ball.
But in that moment, here's the other thing too. I mean, even if they punch out Michael Conforto, if the second base ump or whoever says, you know what, that's a strike, and he purposely threw his elbow in.
Which they probably should have, yes.
You still have Pete Alonso coming up next.
With the bases loaded.
So, again, for anyone, a win is a win. You saw the players reacted. And don't pay attention to what he says or what Luis Rojas says. Oh, I throw batting practice to him, and I'll throw high and tight, and that's his react. No, That was not him pulling back. That was him purposely putting his elbow into the pitch.
I mean, he put his elbow into the strike zone. I mean, it was a perfect pitch that he put his elbow in there for.
Well, yeah, because in that moment, and you can see him actually looking the ball into his elbow, he was fooled by the slider. It almost buckled him a little bit, and then he realized, uh-oh, this is going to be strike three. Let me try to get my elbow in here and at least make the umpire make a decision. And he made the wrong decision. He blew the call.
Totally. How all of them couldn't get together and figure out that he dove into the pitch is really beyond me.
You know what, Dave, some would say that Ron was culpable.
Oh, I like that.
Yes. That's nice. I worked on that all morning.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I like that.
Got
That's
it in the
clever.
Notes and everything.
That's witty. That's well done. Let's yes. go to Dave. Let's see how you are with the callers if you're welcoming today like you were yesterday. Dave in the Poconos. Dave, you're on 98.7 ESPN.
Morning, gentlemen.
David, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good. Listen, the first thing I said was, why couldn't that be Beltran against St. Louis in Game 7? Like, that would have helped us out. I would have loved that. But
of course you would have loved it.
I believe Canty has said this, and countless other football players have said this. There's holding in every single football play. There's flopping in basketball. You do what you do to try and win the game and to try to help the game. It is what it is. You know, it's not on him. It's on the umpires to figure it out. And as far as instant replay, they have rules. Certain things can't be looked at.
Yeah, but therein lies my issue with it, Dave. You're right. There's instant replay. They can't replay this. It looks ridiculous, and therein lies my issue with what went on yesterday.
Yeah, that's the biggest problem I have with the whole thing too, Dave. Like, the fact that you have such a pivotal moment in that game. I mean, you're basically deciding who wins the game, and you got the call wrong, and you have an opportunity to replay whether or not the baseball hit the batter, but you can't review whether the pitch was in the strike zone. To me, that's absolutely ridiculous. Like, I mean, why even have instant replay if you can't have the opportunity to go back and review it, and then the umps can have a consensus and make the right decision and determine the right outcome for the game? There's nobody on this planet that would say that was the right call. It was absolutely the wrong call, and everybody knows it. Yet, the outcome is going to be that the Marlins lost a game that they should have had an opportunity to win.
Yeah, and he admitted it after the game that he blew the call.
Yeah, that doesn't make the Marlins players feel any better, though.
No, it doesn't.
Who gives a damn about
doesn't.
That?
But I think the one thing that Major League Baseball probably doesn't want to do is, because I agree with you, as far as the strike is concerned, like when you replay that, if he got hit and it's a strike, I think that would be something that I think needs to be changed. But I don't think they want to go down the rabbit hole of trying to judge the intent.
I get it. No, it was so obvious, though.
Yeah.
I mean,
I know it was obvious, but again, that's why you have, I mean, the second base umpire is staring at it. Ron Culpa is in the process of ringing him up.
He did. He called strike three.
But again, I think the only thing that makes sense to me is in that moment why he would make that call is because once Conforto pointed to his elbow pad like I got hit, that changed his mind. And he must have thought to himself, the reason that ball was a strike was because it glanced off his elbow into the strike zone.
That it deflected back into the strike. Which is fair. But there has to be some kind of checks and balances where the other umpires go. That one of the umpires had to see that was a horrendous call and should have gone over and said, let me help you out here. And if not, I understand you don't want to start incorporating replay into balls and strikes, but I there's got to be something that you do, no?
Well, didn't they go back and look at it, though, Dave? Didn't they go back and look at whether or not Conforto was hit by the pitch?
Well, he was hit by the pitch.
But that's what I'm saying. They went back and looked at it, so it's not like they couldn't see on the replay, hey, this ball is in the strike zone and Conforto chicken winged it. It's not like they couldn't see that. It's not like they didn't know it. I just think at the time they had already made the call. And once you make the call, you can't go back and change it.
Yeah, once that call would have been made before they went to replay.
Exactly.
Because now if they change it in replay, that's against, by letter of the law, that's against the rules to do that.
Yeah.
All they're replaying is whether or not he got hit by the pitch, which clearly he got hit by the pitch.
Clearly he got hit by the pitch. I mean, yeah, he could stick his hand out and catch the ball and throw it back, and I guess that would be hit by the pitch as well.
But as an athlete too, though, Dave, I mean, it's the same as, like, we always talk about in baseball, right? Put balls in play because it puts pressure on the defense. Hey, you're also in every sport too. I mean, you're doing little things like in football, for example. Chris says there's a holding on every play. Well, like when you watch, you know, a corner covering a wide receiver, like you're always looking for the advantage, and you're going to do, like, you'll hold until you get called for it. Like, you're kind of feeling out the officials as to what he's going to call and what he's not going to call. Like, in hockey, like, you get a stick goes near your face. You see Sidney Crosby, he just did it last week. Like, he's flailing down. I'm going to force the referee to make a call or not. And Michael Conforto put the umpire in a situation yesterday where, rather than just strike out and walk back to the dugout, I'm gonna get hit by this pitch, and then we'll see what happens.
Yeah, and you figure it out.
Yeah, now the pressure's on you to make a decision.
That's right. You figure it out.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
It is get to know Rick DiPietro today.
Oh, and Canty has proven dominant in this game. So,
Canty has dominated.
Looking forward to that. Looking forward to that. Guys, I got to share some news with you, something that you probably aren't looking forward to. Uh-oh. You know how you call Bart and Han the pirates, the preview pirates?
Yeah.
Well, not only are they stealing me to do the show today on KJZ, but they're also stealing an element of our show today. And I just felt like I should prepare you guys for it.
Now, all right, what are they stealing?
They are stealing CMT.
Two clown pirates.
Are you kidding?
They are hustling CMT from DCR. I don't like it.
Wait. Are they calling it CMT?
They are calling it CMT. Not start, bench, or cut. Not anything else. I know this game has got a lot of different names, but they are actually stealing CMT.
You should boycott the segment. Will you be on the show at the point that they do CMT?
I think I'll be just jumping on the set with those guys when they start CMT. Do you want me to boycott? Because I will.
You know
I will. I will absolutely boycott the segment.
I will not do it. I'm opposed to this. You're taking this segment from my other show, and I'm not doing it.
Two clown pirates.
Yeah, it was suggested, and everybody felt like it was okay as long as they gave our show credit, and it just didn't feel right. It felt scummy, but they decided they wanted to move forward with it, and, you know, being that I'm a team player, I'm not going to rock the boat. But if you guys don't want me to participate, I will stay completely out of that segment.
A couple things here.
Wow.
You got a long list of things here to air out.
Long list.
All right. First thing, if you're going to boycott any segment, it should be the Shake It segment that you did yesterday.
You saw me, though, Rico. You saw me. You saw me. You know me. You know how
whose
I felt
idea
about
that
it.
Segment was needs to be fired immediately. It's horrendous. It's awful. It makes no sense. I despise that segment. Second thing is this. Not only are they taking you, which I don't like, they've also already taken Caller Roulette.
Yes.
Which was our idea.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're stealing CMT, which is a staple of our show.
And they're calling it CMT.
Why not just pre-record our show and just repeat what we said for the entire show?
They could do that.
One other thing I've noticed watching the show when we're done, I turn that on to watch Chris, is that Bart clearly has not skipped one neck day. He's got the thickest neck I've ever seen. It's ridiculous. Crazy.
Well, I mean, he was a linebacker, Rico. I'm sure it helped out in his former line of work.
It's amazing to me. I don't know how it makes me feel like it honestly makes me feel like Mike Glennon looking at him. How come my neck
is the opposite though, right? It's the opposite of Mike.
It's the opposite.
Chris, whose idea was this? Someone had to be the ringleader when it came to this. Do you know whose idea, in fact, this was?
I can't remember whose idea it was, Dave. It was during the production meeting yesterday afternoon, and it was a lot of people on there. It might have been 10 people on that Zoom call. So I don't know who the culprit is. I don't know who exactly the culprit is.
I can't believe they're just taking our bits.
I had to prepare you guys. I didn't want you guys to be blindsided by it because you guys would think that I was a part of this. And I'm just telling you, I was in no way, shape, or form a part of this conspiracy to steal one of the elements of our show.
So when you go on the show and they say, all right, we're going to do CMT, you're familiar with that because we're stealing it from your show, Chris. You're going to say, I don't like that you're stealing it. I'm not comfortable with this, and I will not partake in the segment.
Yes. Everything up until the last part. I don't know that they're actually going to allow me to lay out the entire segment.
I think he has to participate, Dave.
Really?
That at some point out, I mean, I'm only participating in this because I have to, but, I mean, you guys clearly stole this segment.
Yeah, no question about it. Let me ask you this, Rico. Do we feel better about it if I kind of introduce it and take control of it and say that I don't like that they're stealing it from us?
Or I think you got to let people know.
You got to let people know that it's
I think every time they turn to you and say, so Aaron Rodgers, Cuddle Mary Trash as the next host of Jeopardy. Before you give your answer every time, it's got to be, I am playing this under strict rules that I am very unhappy with this from the jump. Like, you need every answer you give, you need to lead off with that.
Okay, so I'm participating in this segment against my will.
This is under protest. This is like Don Mattingly after.
There you go.
This is under protest from the jump. Okay. I can't believe. I mean, they'll do anything. So they stole Rex Ryan from us. He was our guest. We'll take him. Now they're stealing our segments. At least clean it up for yourselves. At least change the Cuddle, the Marry, and the Trash to your own thing so it looks like there's a semblance that it's yours. We'll just take it exact. It's like you're going in for the test and you're taking out the Cliff Notes and you're writing verbatim what they say.
They're plagiarizing DCR.
They're plagiarizing the show.
It's like Ian Rappaport. Yeah, Ian Rappaport yesterday. For the last 16 minutes, I've been thinking.
Yes. You know what they have exactly. At 8:30 this morning? Stump Scott, I think, is.
Because of his neck, though, not because you can actually
right,
ask him a question.
Obviously,
oh,
yeah.
Man.
Uh-oh. It really is incredible.
I actually heard they're right. Gonna, Dave, here's what's even more disturbing. They're gonna do both segments, both versions of Cuddle Marry Trash, the right way and then the way that we're doing it now.
Maybe they do the wrong way. I hope that they
can't
do the wrong
wait.
Way. Can't believe it. Stealing another person's segment. Oh,
I
terrible.
Think you should just say, Chris, if I were you, I'd just run, you know, Shake It or Take It.
Oh my God.
I would just do that every 15
why
minutes.
Why are you doing this to me?
I love that segment.
You know how I felt about
just
that.
Just to hear you guys say,
you saw my face.
Just to hear you guys say, shake it.
Yeah.
RJ just says, did you hear what they're doing at 9:15 this morning? Did it happen in Maine? Oh, that's very funny. All right. So I think they're the best in the business or right up there because of their brutal honesty. I don't agree with their take on yesterday all the way through, but here they are. The Mets announcers, here's the final call, and we start out with that one.
1-2 coming. And the slider in there, strike three. Middle Fortes hit him. On the pitch. Hit him. Pulls in the strike zone. And hit Conforto. He made no effort to get out of the way. It was a strike, but he didn't move. And Don Mattingly is going to come out and argue the call with the home plate umpire, Ron Culpa.
All right, so they know that something is off. This is SNY. Then they review it and they come back, and here's their reaction to it.
Look at that. Oh, you can't do that.
They have totally got
a case.
They got
to bring
here.
It back.
Totally have
yes.
a case.
They're going to.
It's
absolute.
He stuck his elbow right into that pitch.
It's going to be strike three.
And the umpires are
outs.
Conferring, and let's see.
So, absolute, according to Ron. And then the umpires come back and say, no, game over, Mets win.
What are they saying?
They're saying the play stands, game's over, the Mets win it.
Wow.
That's
Michael Conforto clearly stuck his elbow into it. And Mattingly's coming out and arguing, but I'm sure he's going to be told that that's not reviewable.
But you're trying to get it right. They don't get it right. So why even have replay?
So Michael Conforto gets a game-winning RBI by sticking his elbow into the pitch from Anthony Bass, and the Mets rally for two in the bottom of the ninth, and only now can they fully celebrate as the umpires say that the game is over. What a bizarre way to end the game.
Crazy. I mean, they were – I give them credit for their brutal honesty, but I don't think – again, I don't have a major problem with it like they seem to.
No, but I don't think the problem was at no point was the problem with Michael Conforto. The problem was with the replay, and the problem was with the call. Because initially, I mean, he called it a strike three. I mean, it was strike three. He called it. He was punching him up.
It was a terrible call. It was a horrendous call.
It was an awful call, and I understand why. I mean, I think we all agree the idea that when you replay that you can only replay if he got hit or not in a spot like that. Is ridiculous. Like, why else would you have replay? I mean, this is a moment where, like, we're going to sit there and we're going to go through, you know, did the guy barely lift his foot off the base when he stole second? Like, that, we're going to focus on that. But in a situation like this where this is going to cost the Marlins the game, we can't review the entirety of the play.
Yeah, it makes no sense, Rico. And I understand Major League Baseball wanting to restrict instant replay and not have every single call that could be subjective be put under a microscope. I understand that. But with this particular call, like I just feel like if you have the opportunity to review whether or not the batter got hit by the pitch, I don't think it's asking much to expand it to determining whether or not the pitch is actually in the strike zone. Like, that's not a heavy lift. That's not a hard ask. I don't understand why Major League Baseball can't amend that. I mean, they've got to revisit instant replay, because if you can't change that call in real time, then you need to just scrap the entire system.
Yeah, I think we're all in agreement. Let's go to Pat in the car. Pat, you're next up on 98.7 ESPN.
How you doing, guys? Just a couple points. Number one is, as far as Bart and Hahn go, imitation is the sincerest form of flattery.
Two clown pirates.
Yeah, but Pat, at a certain point, enough is enough. At a certain point, enough is
right.
enough.
You know what they should do? They should say, guys, we're taking the segment from you, and because of it, we're going to send you royalties. Like, if they sent us each something, I think we'd feel a lot better about it.
Well,
and don't forget, too, Pat.
Enough,
not only,
you
Pat,
definitely
Pat,
should get something for it.
Pat, not only are they stealing segments, they're stealing one of our hosts, too. And then they're taunting us with it. It's like we're going on a double date, and all of a sudden they show up with... With it, yeah, we just broke up with Kenny. They show up with Kenny. You can't just taunt us with it.
Well, they can.
Yeah, but when Kenny goes to the show, it raises the quality of the show.
Yeah, but you know what we're saying, Pat. You know what we're saying.
Yeah, I got you.
Enough is enough.
But to my original point, I just have a quick question. When Don Baylor did it, he was considered a cagey veteran. But Michael Conforto does it, and he's cheating the game. So
I don't ever remember Don Baylor like literally jumping into the strike zone. Do you?
Well, he would lean and turn his back. He would lean into the
pitch. Lean and turn your back
not
is it, one
not
thing.
Not as blatant.
Absorbing a hit by pitch is one thing. To literally throw your elbow into the strike zone to take a hit by pitch feels like it's another thing entirely.
Yeah, I mean, Brandon, Conforto pulled the old Roger Dorn from Major League, didn't he? Leaned into one, Dorn.
Didn't have the same quiet reaction when Dorn got hit.
not the same reaction. But listen, you do what you got to do. And as a player, you're not going to apologize for it. You're going to do everything you can. You're going to bend and stretch the rules and still try to stay within the confines of the game in order to give your team a chance to win. I have zero problem with what Michael Conforto did. The biggest issue I have is with the officiating crew. The umpires have got to get that call right. They can't start to ring the guy up and then just take the base just because of how the batter reacts. And then with Major League Baseball as a whole, not having that as a reviewable call. It's absolutely unacceptable.
Horrendous. You know how KJZ's ending the show today, by the way? 4 stars of the day.
Yeah, and then Rule 77.
Rule 77. Beg, borrow, and steal to make your show
not
as
to be too obvious.
Possible.
Not Rule 76. We're going to go 76.
That's right. One more. Let's
what
go
is
to
Rule
Chris.
77?
No excuses. Steal everyone's material.
We're KJZ on ESPN Radio. Chris in Monroe. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, guys. The point that I was trying to make on the Conforto call, the pitch, was it was a judgment call by the ump. Of course, we all feel like it was the wrong judgment call. It was pretty obvious, but it reminds me of another judgment call. You know, this is one of 162. Imagine if it was in the NFC Championship game and you get hosed like the Saints did a few years ago.
Yeah, that was crazy, though. But I think the reason that call wasn't made, though, because that official in that moment didn't want to be responsible for deciding the game. This call decided the game. I guess in both instances, it ends up deciding the game. But that play wasn't the final play.
No.
You know, at the end of that moment, that was partly why that call wasn't made. Because if that call, if he makes that call, that game is over. It's a wrap.
Right. They take a knee and they kick a field goal and you get
the Saints win.
But still, awful nonetheless.
No, awful.
Yeah, but
right.
The Saints got the ball first in overtime. So it's not like the Saints didn't have another chance to win the game. What you did was take the Marlins' chance to even make it a game and push the extra innings away from them.
Yeah, but see, in that moment. But Chris, in that moment, he's right, though. In that moment, you're beat on the play. So as the player, you have a couple choices here. Either I just say, okay, I'm beat on the play, I'll make the tackle, and then, you know, we go on to the next play. Or in that moment, you say, I'm just going to wipe this wide receiver out and leave it up to the ref to make the call. And he got lucky. The ref didn't make the call.
No, yeah. I get where you're coming from, Rico. My thing is this. I'd always err on the side of letting the players continue to play rather than making the wrong call and ending the game right there in real time. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I know exactly what you're saying. I'm not saying my point is, as the player, like what in that moment, what the player's mentality is, not whether or not the official makes the right call. Like in that moment, Michael Conforto was beat on the that slider beat him.
So he was done.
Put the onus on the official to not give me what I seemingly rightfully earned.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
Because what's the other option? The option is just to strike out and just with your head down, walk back to the dugout.
Right. And by the way, and I heard this all over the place yesterday. And Chris, I'm not looking at you when I say this, but Yankee fans, oh, this is disgusting. How can you be excited with this win? You Mets are an embarrassment. Do you remember when Derek Jeter used to do this? Do you remember when Derek Jeter, when it hit the knob of the bat and he pretended that he was hurt?
Yep.
So stop with this sanctimonious, you know what? The Yankees would never do such a thing, and you should return the win, and you should be embarrassed by it. Shut up. It's ridiculous.
Dave, high-level athletes all feel the same way about stuff like that. Like, if it's within the margins, if you can gain a competitive advantage, then you're going to do it. You're absolutely going to do it, and you're going to leave it up to the officials. You're going to leave it up to the umps to try to rein it in. But you're going to try to get away with everything you can as a player because the goal is to win. Nobody cares about the guys that are on the losing end. Nobody cares about the excuses as to why you lost. All people care about is, did you get the W or not? And yesterday, the Marlins lost and the Mets won. It's opening day. Steve Cohen's first game as owner with Citi Field starting the season. Like, feel good about it if you're a Mets fan. But if you're Major League Baseball, there's an issue that you got to address. And this game just brought it up.
Brandon Nimmo does it all the time. Nobody gets him with more pitches than Brandon Nimmo.
No, he loves it.
Yeah.
I mean, but especially, like, if you're Michael Conforto in that situation and I have a giant elbow pad on it, what do you think I'm going
to
do?
And I can't hit the baseball to save
right.
my life.
And I am in a slump like I've never been in before. I mean, I am almost unplayable at this point.
Exactly right. And you saw it. I mean, you saw what happened when they intentionally walked Francisco Lindor, when he looked over to Conforto to get him fired up.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is your chance. Look, I don't blame him at all.
No, I don't know how you do. I really don't.
But Dave, every player is going to do that, though. Every player is going to do that.
I don't have a problem with that.
If they're smart enough to do it. I actually give them credit in that moment, in that split second, to say, you know what, I might as well just try to stick my elbow into this thing.
This take of, oh, you know, there's going to be retribution and they're going to throw at his head on Saturday. It's like, come on. I can't believe that this was the outcry yesterday.
I think if anyone's going to get thrown at, it's going to be Jeff McNeil.
For flipping the bat like that?
Well, yeah, I mean, these guys watch baseball highlights. I mean, even if the moment they were looking at where the ball was going, every single highlight, I mean, he almost threw the bat into the dugout.
Oh, I loved it. I liked it, too.
No, I'm not saying I didn't. I'm not throwing at him. I loved it. But, I mean, on top of the fact that he threw the bat, he does have that, like, mousy face that you kind of like. He has a real punchable face.
He crushed that baseball, though, Rico.
Oh, my God.
Destroyed
it. He crushed it.
All right, the Michael Kay Show celebrating its new 2 p.m. start. I mean, we already know that, but we'll let you know again. They're giving away $10,000 in the month of April. Every weekday in the 2 o'clock hour, be listening for the K-Cash Sounder and be ready to call in to claim $500 cash. All from your home for the hookup, 98.7 ESPN. Dylan in Freehold. Good morning, Dylan.
Hey, guys. What's going on? It's good to hear from you. I haven't heard you in
a
minute.
What's going on, Dylan? How you doing, buddy?
Time change. Doing all right. It's all good. So, actually, I want to make a point. I think that Conforto leaning into this pitch in the long run is going to end up being good for the game, specifically in the NL East. I was at the Mets-Phillies game on Monday, and that was the most hostile environment I had ever been in at a baseball game. And now the Mets are going to get something going with the Marlins, and you're going to have the Braves trying to battle back for position. I think the NL East is going to be absolutely out of control, as if it wasn't going to be already. And this is just kind of stirring the pot and lighting the fire.
Yeah, I don't mind it. I mean, do I wish the NL East was a little bit less competitive?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would like
more
that.
NL East-ish. I don't know. You guys really think that the Marlins are going to be so agitated by what Conforto did?
No, they'll be pissed.
It's annoying.
They're more mad at the umpire than they are at Michael Conforto.
Yeah.
That's what I would think.
Yeah, but they can't be happy that they lost that game.
No.
And you want that, though. You in your own division, you want some animosity. You know what's crazy too, though, about baseball is that we're at a point where, you know, baseball is. I love baseball, but I can understand like the casual fans not that interested in baseball. But like this kind of controversy is probably in the grand scheme of things good for baseball because it allows people to talk more about baseball.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
So, listen, the only one that should be upset right now is, it shouldn't be Yankees fans. It should be Miami Marlins fans.
Yes. Yeah. They got really hosed yesterday. Could you imagine if the Mets or Yankees lost a game like that? We would be horrified, and rightfully so. I think the Marlins fans should be really upset, and that's it.
Yeah, but you don't need to. I mean, the other thing, too, is, though, don't load the bases then. I mean, you don't need to load the bases.
Yeah, but they still have the right to be upset with what happened.
Yeah, 100%.
Right? Let's go to Mike and Seabright. Good morning, Mike. You're next up on 98.7.
Yeah, if I was one of the eight Marlins fans, I'd be heated this morning. But it's a part of the game. I would be going nuts if it happened to the Mets. But you know what? If you're Conforto, I love Conforto for doing this. You, like you said, either going to strike out or not. Make the umpire do his job, right? And the
exactly.
fact that he did it, that's a heads-up play. I like thinking outside the box. And, yeah, I'm happy my guy did it.
I just want to say from the bottom of my heart, I'd like to take this chance to apologize to absolutely nobody.
Yeah, you don't apologize for wins. You don't do that.
Well, what is it that you guys have said since the day I started this show? You ain't cheating, you ain't trying?
100%, Dave. 100%.
Is that the motto?
That is the motto, man. I don't understand why fans or maybe, you know, people in the media are calling for the Mets to kind of dumb down the celebration because of how they won. That makes no sense. Players aren't going to do that. I mean, you dedicate so much time to putting yourself in position to have a chance to win, and the fact that you did get the outcome that you're looking for, you're absolutely going to be ecstatic about it, especially when it happens the way that it did yesterday. Because that was a game that they weren't expecting to win. And then Jeff McNeil has that home run in the ninth inning, and then they end up having some good at-bats. The bases get loaded, and Conforto leans into one. There's no reason for the Mets players to apologize for winning the game. To have that take is absolutely ridiculous.
Once you get through the 162, that win's going to look just like every single other win you have.
Yeah, we'll forget about that.
It's like they say
they needed
golf.
That. I'll tell you, if they would have lost that game yesterday, Rick, I would have been livid this morning. 1-3, losing games the way they're losing already.
Yeah, I told you. I mean, that would have been a frustrating loss, especially with how well Walker pitched.
Yeah, he was excellent. Excellent.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.